Happy Sabbath, family. Can everybody hear me loud and clear?
Yes,
yes.
Okay. Well, actually, well, Danny said, well, the Sabbath has ended. Like, yeah, that's true. All right. So, we are going to resume from where we left off last week. If you have the book, Spirit of Prophecy, Book 4, we are picking up on page 479, paragraph 2. Or if you have Arlac, it's on page 99, paragraph 2. And if everybody is ready, we shall get started. It says, "Now Christ again appears to the view of his enemies, far above the city, upon a foundation of burnished gold, is a throne high and lifted up." "Upon this throne sits the Son of God, and around him are the subjects of his kingdom." Now that's some beauty and wealth that I want to see. "The power and majesty of Christ no language can describe, no pen portray. The glory of the eternal Father is enshrouded in his Son. The brightness of his presence fills the city of God and flows out beyond the gates, flooding the whole earth with its radiance." No wonder why there's no need for the sun.
Yeah, that's no need. Yeah, it's so bright.
In the brightness of the Father.
Yeah, and he finally gets to let us see all this as we finally made it home.
Yeah.
The only the angels and you know, Enoch, Elijah, and Moses and the 24 elders are able to see this now.
Oh yeah.
And soon we're all going to be able to. Those of us that are worthy to make it home, obviously. Oh, please.
Just seeing him on, when he comes from the east. So yes. We won't be able to take our eyes off of him. There's no so way. He's so beautiful and bright.
They're not going to bump into anything because he's right. Focused on the path just like he's done our whole life. Well, we have a tendency to get too close to the edge at times, but praise his name. That's going to be amazing to see. And that's just one of countless, you know, blessings that we're going to witness. Not just what we look at, but what we'll experience in our own new bodies. And then, of course, the new food, it'll be the same, but it won't be all messed up with, you know, additives.
And, you know, talking about glory, that's going to be enshrouding Christ. You think about it. It's not just Christ's glory that we get to behold, but we got two other persons of the Godhead who got glory in and of themselves to behold. Like she said, that it's no language can describe it, no pen can portray it. I mean, it's so glorious that when Sister White saw Jesus and the Father next to each other in vision, she says that the glory surrounding the Father, if you were to behold this person, you'd cease to exist.
Mm-hmm. So even there, Jesus is our advocate.
Yeah.
So we can see the glory of the Father in Christ our Lord.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be enveloped by him. It's just like what he told Philip, "Have I been with you so long you have not seen the Father?"
It's just going
to be an amazing existence. Yeah, because I was talking to him about this last night. I still can't understand how there's no beginning because I have a finite mind.
None of us can.
What did he do 6,000 years ago before he created this planet? I mean, what was he doing? And I even tried, like I was sitting there on the rocker and I'm praying and I'm sitting there trying to figure out what it's like a trillion years from, you know, I'm thinking it's just day one. You know, we're really never going to die and get sick or anything. Hold fast, everybody.
It's something, you know, it's funny you said that because I oftentimes have that same thought. I can comprehend never having an ending, but I cannot comprehend for the life of me how he had no beginning. Like, how does that... even if I try to delve into it, I'm going to have splitting headaches for years on end.
Exactly.
I know I'm the same way, and when I but still when I try to figure out the never ending part, mm-hmm. how I can't compute that because everybody I know that's old enough had died.
Yeah.
And man, it's just.
You see, the universe never ends, too.
Yeah.
He just keeps making it.
He's just
bigger.
Still expanding,
expanding,
still
and expanding.
Stuff,
and expanding
making, yeah. And I always wondered too. What would have happened had there never been a God?
Yeah.
None of us would be nothing. The universe,
nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Would
just
nothing.
And so, if it wasn't for him,
yeah, you don't exist.
Nothing would
nothing
exist. Nothing at all. Yeah, it's just it's you can't contemplate it with our little walnut-sized brains. It'll be easier when we get home, but still. You know, in the beginning, maybe linear time in heaven is different from past, present, and future on earth. Because we have, time down here. In eternity, it's not like, well, we're still going to have a regular existence, but time is going to be different, I would imagine. So,
right. Let's see. Okay, guess we can continue. Well, actually, hold on. Let me go back up. There was some comments. Sister Pam said, speaking of the glory of Christ, the wicked with trying to hide from him. Yeah, you know, like, good luck with that, trying to hide from that glory. It's
yeah.
going to find you out. And then,
you can't hide in a grave. Yeah, they can't even hide in the grave. He's going to get them out of there, too, at the end of the thousand.
Yeah, really. And then Brother Matthew said, drive yourself, talking about comprehending no beginning and no end. And Brother Matthew said, drive yourself crazy trying to figure that one out. Yeah, you do drive yourself crazy trying to figure it out. But I'm glad I'm glad that trying to comprehend it is not a salvational issue because I'm like, all
right,
good.
Yeah.
Because it's simply not possible. I remember when I was young trying to figure it out and somebody told me it has to do with a ring. You look at a ring, there's no beginning and no end. It just and so that's what I used to always to say when I was a teenager. One of the first questions I'm gonna ask the father. Could you explain the meaning of the ring when it comes to your existence? How there's no beginning? I can understand no end, but, and even then I try to contemplate the end, like, what am I going to be? Because I remember when I first found Christ, I thought in my mind, what's it going to be like 40 years from now? And that's now, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so 40 years ago when I found him, I always want to figure how it's going to be. That's what I like. That was the other night. What's it going to be like in a trillion years with all this new knowledge that we're going to have? But, I don't think it has anything to do with the meaning of a ring. I think it was probably a Catholic thing at the time.
But, you know, I look at it this way. Even with the ring, it's like a modern-day parable. Like, that's the closest thing you can get to understanding the glory of God is that it's just how it's no ending. That's as close as you're going to get. But other than that, though, good luck trying to figure it out. Let's see, Brother Stephen said, exactly, thinking about that makes me realize how great that glory will be because the Father's glory is already way too much for us to stand, but all three together, oh, the might. Sister Hannah said, we're so used to life and in an earthly sense. Yeah, because all we've been used to growing up is just this one dying, that one dying, us going to that one's funeral or that one's funeral. Like, all we know is death.
Yeah, and even the birth of people, we even see people being born.
Mm.
You know, but, yeah, I was never born.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Our human minds cannot comprehend. Sister Mary said, yes, amen to that. Stephen said, I think it would cause me stress to try and comprehend that. I pray to God it's out of my reach to even attempt. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And then Hannah said, to try and comprehend that God didn't need to create us. He didn't need to give us the opportunity to have eternal life. Yeah, he still did. You know, that's why I say, you know, you take time out of your busy eternity. And, you know, I like to say God is the only one who has. You know how sometimes we will say, oh, it seems like my work never ends. No, I think God is the only one that has the right to say that.
Yeah.
His work never ends. And
he bends down to each of us as individuals on top of all that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, he's just amazing.
Amazing.
We can brag about our Father. But it's different now. It's not like when we were kids. My dad's bigger than your dad, so, you know, now it's.
Yeah. My dad really is bigger than your dad.
I don't know why it always brings me back to John F. Kennedy Jr.
John.
Little John John. When his dad was president before he got assassinated, he walked up to a door where his dad was in the Oval Office or something like that, was an important meeting, and he grabs the doorknob and a Secret Service guy goes, "You can't go in there." And he looks up at him and goes, "My dad owns this place." Pushes it over, you know. Well, we could say the same thing. But our dad is God in heaven, you know.
Yeah, that's
a good one. He owns everything.
Yeah, it's like the song goes, "This is my father's world."
Yeah.
And then that reminds me of Psalm 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's," and then Genesis 14:19, "That the Lord is the possessor of heaven and earth."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, amen. Okay, I think we can continue if nobody else has anything. It says, "Nearest the throne are those who were once zealous in the cause of Satan, but who pulled his brand from the burn and have followed their Savior with deep, intense devotion. Next are those..."
That's really...
It's like that one scripture, you know, like I'm paraphrasing. "Those that sin much, much... Those that are forgiven much are blessed much," or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly how it went. But, yeah, because you realize how, you know, when you get so close to Satan, and then you find Christ and how it turns around. Man, what a big change.
Read it again. So I will. It says, "Nearest the throne are those who were once zealous in the cause of Satan, but who plucked his brands from the burn and have followed their Savior with deep, intense devotion." And you know who I think of, the first person that comes to mind? Paul.
Yeah.
I think the only Christian.
Same here.
Yeah. I think of Paul. Yeah. And then it says, "Next are those who perfected Christian characters in the midst of falsehood and infidelity." I think of Joseph. "Those who honored the law of God when the Christian world declared it void, and the millions of all ages who were martyred for their faith." And I think of the 550 who went to their graves.
And the people we're going to be meeting in the coming days are going to be martyred. We might even be martyred.
Amen. And then beyond is the great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds, people and tongues, before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Their warfare is ended, their victory won. They have run the race and reached the prize. The palm branch in their hands is a symbol of their triumph, and the white robe an emblem of the spotless righteousness of Christ, which now is theirs.
Remember the palm branches in Catholicism? Remember that, Fran? The Palm Sunday thing?
Yeah.
And how they would actually even go so far as to manipulate that by having people make nice baskets out of them, braiding them into a crucifix or something.
Yeah.
Mix it with mankind at all times, with mythology.
And they use that palm to, you know, during the Ash Wednesday.
The same palms they burn up, and then they use that for Ash Wednesday. Same
stuff.
Most of the Catholics don't. I didn't know that as a Catholic. It wasn't until after I started researching it, and I thought, oh, man. What else did they do?
For Ash Wednesday, they used burnt palms. Really?
The palms. Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday.
And you know what? I grew up as a Catholic, but I wasn't as devoted as you were, so I didn't even know that.
I found out after I left.
Yeah. Me too.
You know, I mean, I got the cross on the forehead with the ashes and all that. So, I go to work, but everybody else did it. So it was like,
and you feel so proud when you have this cross
and the ashes. We learn that in school.
Yeah.
Because we wonder, I'm pretty sure the nuns are the ones that told us.
Well, you guys know it. They never told us. Because I only got to fourth grade in parochial school. You went all the way to eighth grade. And so you had a lot more crazy experiences than I did in that area. Girls were a lot safer in Catholic school. I don't say they had long fingernails, I remember what you told me about the one girl. And they just crammed her fingernails into her own hand. But they were mean to all the kids. But when I get to the boys, I worry, you know, the priests and how they were themselves. It's just disgusting. It's just weird.
Yeah, really. Hannah put Revelation 12:11, which says, "And they overcame him the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death."
Yeah.
And Luke 7:47, Danny put in, which says, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little."
Yeah, that's what I was looking for, yeah. I know if I just paraphrase it, somebody would, you know, share it. Praise God.
Yes. And then, okay, it says, the next paragraph, page 480, paragraph 1. It says, "The redeemed raise a song of praise that echoes and re-echoes through the vaults of heaven. Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. An angel and seraph unite their voices in adoration. As the redeemed have beheld the power and malignity of Satan, they have seen as never before that no power but that of Christ could have made them conquerors." Amen. "And all that shining throng, there are none to ascribe salvation to themselves as if they had failed by their own power and goodness. Nothing is said of what they have done or suffered, but the burden of every song, the keynote of every anthem is salvation to our God and unto the Lamb." Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, does anybody have any comments? Because Brother Stephen put in 1 John chapter 5.
Verse 7? No. I've been dealing with that for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Nick,
I'm getting emails.
Look at some of the other stuff in there. There's a lot of good things in there.
Amen. Yeah. Well, it looks like a few people commented. Or wait. That one thing. Verses 1 to 5, yeah.
Yeah, Stephen put 1 John 5:1-5, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." Yeah, because the Holy Spirit prompts us to love those who keep the commandments like we do, because they're our brethren.
Yeah, they're brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
"For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God.
But I like that one part where it's, you know, where it says here in, what is it, verse 3? That the commandments are not grievous.
Mm-hmm.
The world can't understand that. They don't understand what is it, Hebrews 10:16, where he puts the laws in our heart, or 2 Corinthians 3:3, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes it easy. It's like when Paul was talking about those people across the road. I always pictured them across the road, and he's talking to the Jews. He says, "Look, you guys never talked to them, you know, the Gentiles. Never even told them anything about the law because you hate them and all that." He didn't say it like that, but. But yet, look, they're keeping the law because it's written on their hearts. And it's easy once it's written on your hearts. Man. He really helps us in every single way. I mean, it's, but praise his name. Even, and then he forgives us.
But you know what, though? When you mention the Jews hating the Gentiles, you know, that reminds, and I'm not trying to make this about the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because we're here to talk about the controversy ended, but it just made me think, I can't keep my mouth shut on this one, is that, like, you know, the Seventh-day Adventists do the same thing with the Sunday keepers. They, like, every time Sister White talks about the church, they're authorized books, their new books, the edited books, when it talks about the church, It's been diverted away from them, and now it's about the Catholics. It's about the Protestants. It's about the Sunday Protestants. Yeah. Like, they have a better shot at heaven than the Seventh-day Adventists do. It's a, It's a modern day Pharisaical mindset that just because they had Sister White as their prophet and they have all these wonderful writings from the pioneers and that, you know, they have the law of God, they think that they're better. They're chosen. They're better than the world.
What's really depressing is that there's so many of them and just so little of them are actually going out and doing the work, and praise God for those little ones, but I'm hoping a lot will come out and do the work, because there is really very little that we don't have in common with them. But it's just the fact that many people can go on with their lives for many years and never ever hear about the Sabbath, and yet there's 20 million of them, and I know, you know, most of those are in the United States, right? So what are they doing? I want to hear about them.
They do their revelation seminars, but we all know that's just an echo of the stuff that was already studied up.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
And even those who are in the SDA church now, they don't know how to keep the Sabbath holy. No. A lot of them, they don't know really that cooking on the Sabbath is
right.
Yeah, boiling water. Yeah, you can't do
like
it.
That.
Yeah, and they, I remember with Fire Talk, remember decades ago when we did the online church, the SDAs came to me saying, "Where did you get this message?" I think, wait a second, aren't you guys the ones that are out there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't even know it. And it's not like when Anthony was mentioning how he doesn't want to make it about them. No, it's like when I used to help the Catholics, that you have a burden. There's nothing wrong with that. It's like when the Lord told the apostles to go to Israel first, go to the Jews first. And then after the 3.5 years are over, when Stephen is stoned, now go everywhere. But go to the church first, because they're the ones that had the truth at one time. But they, I mean, when you look at some of the comments, and I don't want to embarrass the SDAs that come onto my videos and they make these comments. And I could very easily say, well, look, if everybody just goes to your channel and sees you got all this rock and roll videos on their channels from like Rod Stewart and Jeff Beck and I don't know, these other people, they didn't know who they were. And because I just go and check their channels to see if they might be someone like us, you know, they don't see anything wrong with that. And that's why they can't see what we see. And so instead of embarrassing them, I say, why don't you do a quick study on why Satan has musical instruments in his body? And Brother Mo was the only one that asked about, well, he's not SDA, but Brother Mo asked me about it, which gave me the opportunity to stand up and say, this is why I asked this. And I wonder if those other guys saw it, because they never responded. Because if people go to their channel, it's going to say, this guy's saying we're all wrong, and they're putting up no verses to back it up. And then you look at their channels, and they are so worldly now. They literally call us SDA bashers, just like the Catholics used to call us, Catholic bashers. And so, yeah, there's nothing wrong with having a burden for them, and that's why I'm always trying to help them. But, you know, yeah, Brother Gilbert, yeah, go ahead.
Where
are we at? Page 480, I think. Paragraph, whatever.
Yeah. I didn't know whatever was a number, so that's interesting to know. Paragraph, whatever.
This guy. Maybe we should open up a window. Is it warm in here, too? You're fine? Okay.
Are you guys okay?
I always get heated up when I'm sharing, you know. That, and I'm looking at that fire over there. That's psychosomatic.
Yeah, makes it not.
Huh?
Warm for you?
He's melting now.
You're melting?
Oh, melting. Yeah, I'm just getting, it's hot in here.
Well, anyway, yes, paragraph 480, paragraph 2. That's where we're at now. It says, in the presence of the assembled inhabitants of earth and heaven takes place the final coronation of the Son of God. And now, invested with supreme majesty and power, the King of Kings pronounces sentence upon the rebels against his government and executes justice upon those who have transgressed his law and oppressed his people. Says the prophet of God, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you read the scripture once, you may not react to it, but then you read it the second time, it's like, hold up, I missed that. Sorry, I just kind of got carried away. That just blew me away. It says, and there was found no place for them, and I saw the dead, small, and great stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And that is taken from Revelation 20, verses 11 through 12. As soon as the books of record are opened, and the eye of Jesus looks upon the wicked, they are conscious of every sin that they have ever committed.
Mm-hmm.
Hold.
It's because they've never been confessed, so it's still in them.
Hold.
That's scary.
Oh, wow.
That's like seeing your whole life flash before you.
And
that's exactly what like it means.
Every, yeah, every right. day, yeah. every day of yeah. their life, there's sin.
Yeah.
There's sin every day.
Because every
life.
One of those sins are unconfessed.
Yeah.
And so they're on them.
Yeah.
They have not been wiped. They have not been able to see a forgetfulness. Yeah. That's why we can't remember a thing at the end of plague six, even though we feel unworthy of his arrival. We can't. And they'll surround us and try to make us think we're sinners, but can't come up with
I think
nothing.
This is the best quote to reference back to Jude. Like that Sister White, I've ever seen her write. Because Jude says the same thing, but it's so cross-referenceable that, I mean, it's so alike to how Jude says it.
Which verse is it?
It's the one that pretty much I've always been putting in here every time we've met for the past few weeks.
To execute judgment
the ungodly will be convinced of all the ungodly deeds that they have ungodly committed.
Yeah, I think we have a few comments in there.
I think you should memorize that scripture word for word since you use it so much.
Which one's that?
Oh, Jude 15.
Huh? What?
Jude?
I'm sorry, I was laughing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't even know what you're talking about. The comments were just it's because when you mentioned boiling water a few minutes ago, Amato, he was blown away by it. He's like, we can't boil water. I boiled some earlier,
if you don't know what's in it, it's that Exodus 16.
It's seething, isn't it?
Seething, yeah. Yeah, Exodus 16:23, it says, and he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which he'll bake today, and seethe that which he will see. And that which remaineth over layeth for you to be kept until the morning. And seethe means boil. And so, yeah, you can warm stuff up on Sabbath, obviously, but don't let it get overboard where it starts boiling. You know, you can heat up water even.
And Danny just put in the quote from Spirit of Prophecy, book one, that talks about it. So that's just really the big comment that was posted. Yeah. But it's really nothing else in relation to what we're talking about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I like what Eli put in there because that's literally what's going to happen to all of them at the end of the 1,000 years. That self-deception will be totally erased, and they're going to know everything they did wrong because it's still in them. They've never given it to Christ. They've never confessed it, and you know, or even repented, obviously. But yeah.
And then it's I'll read that again. It says. As soon as the books of record are opened and the eye of Jesus looks upon the wicked, they are conscious of every sin which they have ever committed. Mm-hmm. They see just where their feet diverged from the path of purity and holiness, just how far pride and rebellion have carried them in the violation of the law of God. The seductive temptations which they encouraged by indulgence in sin, the blessings perverted, the messengers of God despised, the warnings rejected, the waves of mercy beaten back by the stubborn, unrepentant heart all appear as if written in letters of fire.
Mm. Yeah, like the many men who took a look at Arson. Yeah. On the wall that Belshazzar in Daniel's day.
You know, the way Sister White writes, there are times where you look at it and it's like, I wonder if this is poetic or literal. And in this case, the letters of fire, I'm wondering if that's just poetic or if that's literal.
Well, the Bible does that too.
Yeah.
A lot of times you look in the scriptures, you know, although it is literal in Daniel's day when that the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar messed up and started drinking out of the golden goblets that were dedicated onto the sanctuary. So.
Right.
And he should have known better. His grandfather.
I believe it's to emphasize just how much they will comprehend all that was spoken to them in their past lives. It's kind of like, well, how the word of God is written in our hearts. But for them, it's like fire burning because they are being burned by it literally at that moment because the presence of God to them is as a consuming fire.
I mean, when we hear the words that he wants us to hear to remind us of this, that, or whatever, or even if we're helping somebody else, you know, the John 14:26 promise is a blessing unto us, whereas in their case, it's condemnation. They're reminded of what they blew off or ignored, like when we went to them and tried to share it with them, and they just blew it off. All that's going to be brought to their memory, like I think Stephen was saying that. But that, yeah, that was Stephen talking, right?
Yeah, that was.
Yeah. It's written. But they'll be, they can't escape it, nor can they deny it. It's going to be that right in their faces.
Did anybody hear you?
Gilbert brought up a good point.
Wait, who brought up a good point?
Gilbert.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so I mean, it's gonna be like everyone's saying, you just can't escape it. So, and here comes the quote that I've been using very often. You know, when it comes up, I actually used this quote a couple weeks ago in reference to a question somebody had. It says, above the throne is revealed the cross, and like a panoramic view, it's like a big television where I see this, appears the scenes of Adam's temptation and fall and the successive steps in the great plan of redemption. The Savior's lowly birth, his early life of simplicity and obedience, his baptism in Jordan, the fast and temptation in the wilderness, his public ministry unfold into men heaven's most precious blessings, the days crowded with deeds of love and mercy. Wait, what?
No, just go ahead, because I want to share something, too.
I'll just finish reading this, and then I'll stop. The days crowded with deeds of love and mercy, the nights of prayer and watching in the solitude of the mountains, the plottings of envy, hate, and malice, which repaid his benefits, the awful, mysterious agony in Gethsemane, beneath the crushing weight of the sins of the whole world, his betrayal into the hands of the murderous mob, the fearful events of that night of horror, the unresistant prisoner, forsaken by his best-loved disciples, rudely hurried through the streets of Jerusalem, the Son of God exultantly displayed before Annas, arraigned in the high priest's palace, in the judgment hall of Pilate, before the cowardly and cruel Herod, mocked, insulted, tortured, and condemned to die. All are vividly portrayed.
And when she says panoramic, I wouldn't think it's just a bunch of pictures, because we're going to have an ability to use our brains in ways we haven't put before. It's going to be like, you're going to see like a timeline.
Yeah.
A video timeline kind of thing. And even the wicked are going to be able to look at that and understand where they messed up, you know, and all that they denied and ignored.
It's like a video there.
Yeah.
Real life.
It's like watching the life events in each situation.
Yeah. Yep.
Because our brains are going to work differently. We can't even fathom how that's going to be yet.
Yeah.
But just flying alone. I mean, we could kind of figure that by the dreams we have about flying, you know. Even there, it's nothing compared to what we're going to be doing when we actually fly. But watching and looking at that amazing timeline, I wonder if he's going to let it stay there for all eternity just so he can look at it. And
maybe we can.
I don't know. She doesn't say anything about that.
Maybe we can
That would be an object lesson there. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see the what happened to Noah at the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So okay. There will be a reel over there.
Yeah. Well, if you think about how
playlist.
It's a playlist. Yeah. Because like yeah, playlist.
It has to be lifelike though.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. Just in white.
Yeah. Well, instead of just like a. Screen, you know, like it would look on TV.
Yeah, I know. Or would it be that we just look at it one time, and it's locked in because mankind didn't start using books until what about a century or so after Noah?
Yeah, and who could forget that?
Because everybody had like photographic memory, and so we can like you read the Bible and you read it once and you can just refer to it back, and it's like watching a video in your mind.
Yeah.
And so I would think our brains are going to work even better at that time to where we're going to be able to see it that way. Or he'll leave it up there all the time for all eternity just to check it out. But seeing it the one time, it's like going back in time, you know? That's what I always wanted to do. I'd like to be a fly on the wall, not a fly, but let's just say a little mouse in the house watching all these amazing events in scripture, except for maybe the flood because the mouse ain't going to make it, you know? Plus, of course, I'm on the ark. But yeah. Just be able to see all that, literally, because we know it's absolutely unequivocally true when we read it in the scriptures, and so it's got to be way that just let us see it.
And you know, speaking of Noah, like since he'll be there, your sister wife does say that she saw him there when we're all there. And so instead of going up to Noah and going, "Hey, what was the flood like?" You could just watch it.
Yeah.
In the boat.
Yeah. I mean, come on, we have an eternity. So we can hang out with Noah in our mind for a couple of centuries.
We could probably watch it in the ark itself.
Yeah, there you go.
That'd be like a treat.
You know, like that virtual reality they have down here. Pshaw, pshaw. Give me the real thing, you know? Because the stuff they do now, it just makes you laugh. But, just the upper crust you say, pshaw.
Yeah, better.
Yeah.
It's just nothing compared to what we're going to be able to see.
Right. And Sister Mindy put in the definition of a panoramic view, so it gives us a better idea as to what it's going to look like. She says, a panoramic view is a wide-angle representation of a physical space, allowing you to see a broad area in one image or scene. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can do that with your cell phones. Or any kind of camera now that usually has that option where they actually have a new invention where it's an app where it's, you know, like the, because you got the little thing inside a camera, you know, the thing that makes it buzz, like it vibrates.
Mm-hmm.
They have it now for all the phones where you can put an app in there and just, you stand the phone up on its edge like that and you turn on this app and the phone just moves by itself. It takes pictures of everybody in the room, makes a panoramic view. I would think in heaven it would be video, not just pictures.
Right. You know? Why would he have a video in heaven?
I don't know.
He can make it look lifelike.
You know, like 3D or actually, it's actually happening.
Yeah.
But then Noah would have to be omnipresent and all that and stuff, so I don't think it would work that way. Or it's just the way he explains things, and like, our brains are so much better, and work so much better, we could see it more clearly as if we're there. I don't know. But it is a panoramic view. And so we'll figure that out when we get there. All laugh at each other when we get there and say, you know, you thought this or I thought that. And we'll all just have a nice little giggle. You know, that'd be nice. Boy, I hope we don't make it.
Right. And, you know, and think about this. Enoch, Elijah, and Moses, and the 24, actually, and the 24 elders too, they got a panoramic view before. They didn't even need a panoramic view because they got to see it for themselves in real time.
Yeah.
Like the 24 elders, they've watched it go down for the last 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. Noah for 4,000. And Enoch, well, he was right before Noah.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
So they've been up there for eons.
We just may have a panoramic view of everything in heaven.
Well, yeah, that's what it's. That's where when you, you know, it just went from Adam and Eve to us.
And Sister Pam said maybe we will see it in our mind rather than with our eyes. And I think with a glorified body, which means a glorified mind, That could be possible.
Yeah, because even science will tell you today we're only using 20% of our brains. And if you look at the idiot savant, or even the prodigious savant, where he's not like autistic, and but he has this ability to do things that nobody on the planet can do with mathematics or even artwork. Like a little 4-year-old kid that does Chopin on piano without even trying. You know, those are certain areas of the brain that kind of like get over exemplified somehow. The whole brain will be like that.
It'll be working.
And bigger. And so, yeah. And we won't be idiots or even prodigious. Like, in other words, not a autistic, but, you know, really blessed in one area. Like that one kid that can recite pi to the 50,000th digit. You know, the pi, the pi thing in mathematics, without a single mistake. And it took him 5.5 hours or something like that. And they recorded, they put him in the Guinness Book of World Records. And he wasn't an idiot savant. He was just a savant on mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, and then you tell him I saw him do this on camera. He asked, what day were you born? What was the date? And within 5 seconds, he says, you were born on a Wednesday or something. They'll know exactly what day of the week it is. And ask him anything, like your anniversary. He'll, just the mathematics, like Ken, with that math multiplication plan, remember that? Give him 3 numbers, multiplied by other 3 numbers in 5 seconds. He can get you the answer before we can get it on the calculator.
Four numbers.
Yeah, he did 4 numbers. Four numbers times 4 numbers, and he just did it. And he just wasted his life. I hope he's still out there somewhere. Well, at the time he was wasting his life. He's been driving a truck now, so he's doing okay. But
shall we read?
Yeah, shall we read? Yeah, sorry.
I got about 7 more minutes? It was 7 more minutes.
Yep. That means we should get a sentence or two.
Yeah,
I'd say that. or maybe a whole paragraph, because this next paragraph is not that long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and now before the swaying multitude are revealed the final scenes, the patient sufferer treading the path to Calvary, the Prince of Heaven hanging upon the cross, the haughty priests and the jeering rabble deriding his expiring agony. So cruel, so sadistic. The supernatural darkness, the heaving earth, the rent rocks, the open graves, marking the moment when the world's Redeemer yielded up his life. And I think we can actually do the next paragraph, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hold on a second, because some people are still, and I know, like, especially the young, they're a little fearful as to what's coming. But think about Peter when they were going to crucify him. He told them to crucify him upside down, which was even more torturous.
That's true.
And he only had the former reign on. Right? We're going to have the latter reign. And so stuff like that, we're going to be obedient even unto death if we're martyred. So it's not going to affect us in any way. No fear, nothing.
No. Here it is.
Because we know we'll get up again. Sadly, they won't. And I just thought I'd throw that in there because I know there's just some young ones that may be thickest. Because I just remember the Fox's Book of Martyrs when that one young couple asked that one question, they got scared. So, but yeah, we can do one more paragraph, you think? How much?
Yeah, we can.
All right.
Yeah, it says, the awful spectacle, and actually it would be a good place to stop after we do this this one paragraph here. It says the awful spectacle appears just as it was. Well, there you go. It appears just as it was. Satan, his angels, and his subjects have no power to turn from the picture of their own work.
Mm. They got to look at it. Mm-hmm. You know, they got to look at it.
Each actor recalls the part which he performed. Herod, who slew the innocent children of Bethlehem, that he might destroy the king of Israel, the base Herodias upon whose guilty soul rests the of John the Baptist, the weak, time-servant Pilate, the mocking soldiers, the priests and rulers and the maddened throng who cried, his blood be on us and our children. all behold the enormity of their guilt. They vainly seek to hide from the divine majesty of his countenance, outshining the glory of the sun, while the redeemed cast their crown at the Savior's feet, exclaiming, he died.
Amen.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a rough day for them, that's for sure.
They're trying to turn it off, but...
Yeah, they can't. They can't look away. It's like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah,
it's stuck.
Like
yeah. Oh, I don't even want to think that. Mm-hmm. I praise God for confessing sin. You don't want to even contemplate the stuff that you've done in the past. He takes it away. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. These guys have to sit there and stew in it.
Yeah, because it's all still written in the book of sin.
Yeah. They refuse to have it blotted out. Instead, their names are blotted out.
I only want to eat stew. I don't want to stew in my sin.
Yeah.
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 A nice hot stew on a winter night, not have to stew in hot fire. Thank you very much.
I get it.
Yeah. Ain't none of that, bro.
Oh, man. Well, yes, a good place to stop. I would say, now, one thing I will say is...
I'm sorry. It actually would be the next paragraph would be the best place to stop, because she continues to talk about who's watching this. Oh, wait, it also brings up the papist priests in Iraq. And okay, yeah, it is, because it's just going to continue. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that. So, yeah, it is a good place to stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trust me, I'd like to continue if we weren't constrained by time.
Yeah.
It's on, Sister Hannah put Review and Herald, November 14, 1912, paragraph 6, which says, at the final day, when the earth shall perish, he who has laid up treasures in heaven will behold that which his life has gained. If we have given heed to the words of Christ, then as we gather round the great white throne, we shall see souls who have been saved through our agency, and shall know that one has saved others, and these still others. A large company brought into the haven of rest as the result of our faithful labors. There too lay their crowns at Jesus' feet and praise him through the ceaseless ages of eternity. With what joy will the workers for Christ behold these redeemed ones who share the glory of the Redeemer? How precious will heaven be to those who have been faithful in the work of saving souls? Oh, man.
Yeah, because none of us really realized we could have shared our faith with somebody that's kind of like a Martin Luther or something, you know, or even an Ellen White to go out there and do the work, and we never realize it. And then when we meet them in heaven, they come up and thank us, and we go up and thank somebody else, because I know the people that I was watching didn't know I was watching them.
Yeah,
I didn't make it obvious because I was trying to be Mr. Macho back then. I didn't realize yet. It was my very, very early desire to get right. Yeah. What an awesome God we serve. Loving Father. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but did Jesse say Father Daddy?
I think he said that.
I was actually talking to him last night. I said, you know, you're my father, you're my God, you're my Abba, you're my daddy. You know?
Nice.
I do that every now and then, but you know, I don't.
Amen.
It's nice to see that. So, God's such a precious.
That's precious.
He's so precious.
Amen.
I won't say that too much. Get your head all small, you know. But so who's gonna?
Buddy gonna say something?
Were you?
Buddy Mo was saying he wanted to share something.
Oh, did Mo want to say something?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Oh yeah, bro. If you're still on here, go ahead and share what you wanted to. Oh, you'll post it.
Well, then one of us will read it. Anthony will. Probably read it.
Yeah, I can.
That's we'll let you boil up your cords. Ours are getting dried up.
Oh no, I mean, I'll give you a run for your money. Oh man. Use all your minutes. What's a cell phone? An old cell phone.
He's using all
your minutes. Yeah. Remember the days where you had minutes on your cell phones?
Yeah.
Prepaid.
Yeah.
Well, it's from TikTok. It's someone who goes by the handle Spiritual Daka 33. It's their biography says 3 days psychic / love specialist, cleansing, healing, and a lot more. And and this is what he put. Oh golly.
Why?
What
is this?
Yeah.
What is it? This is what he said. Hold on. Should we? Hold on. I would say this. Let me know what y'all think. Should we pray out and close out this recording?
Yeah.
Person?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
It's a spiritual.
Yeah. So
was he trying to help somebody? Is that what it is?
It has to do with his marriage. So that's something.
Yeah, I know. Right. So let's. Yeah. Who's going to close? You want
to? Yeah. Who's getting voluntold?
You.
Okay.
Brother.
Yeah. I'll close.
All right.
If you are ready, let's pray. Let's bow our heart. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the amazing words that we have shared today. Thank you so much, Lord, for these words of life that give us more inspiration. We are so much in awe and feeling homesick, Lord. We want to go home and see thy glory. And thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity that we can strengthen each other. And as we go on another week, we pray that you will continue shower us with your blessing, your bountiful grace. Help us overcome all the weaknesses and trials that we have, and be overcomer at last. Thank you so much for your love and your care, and thank you for loving us, and also for the forgiveness of our sins. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.